We continue in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. I invite you to listen for God's living word. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 men with a skin disease approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Did none of them return to give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then Jesus said to the Samaritan, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Until someone mentioned it to me this week, I did not realize that this story is the only one in all of Scripture in which someone thanks Jesus. Isn't that hard to imagine? After everything Jesus does in his life and ministry, this is the only time any gospel records someone saying thank you to him. And that thank you is expressed in a borderline kind of space. Luke is careful to point out that Jesus is traveling in a region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, according to first century maps of Palestine, there is no region between Samaria and Galilee. So it makes us wonder just what Luke wants to communicate to us about Jesus' journey. Seminary professor John Carroll posits that the vagueness and ambiguity of the geographical reference is suggestive. Jesus is walking through a liminal zone, a place of transition, a place between where neither Galilean nor Samaritan is at home. And it's in this vague, ambiguous, liminal land where Jesus encounters these 10 lepers. The fact that they made their own kind of home there probably should not surprise us. For as those who were not welcomed into any community due to their diseases, as those who were considered outcasts and unclean, where else could they go? Now Jesus, he could have gone anywhere else, but they could not, and Jesus did not. So when they see Jesus coming near, they cry out for mercy. And Jesus, being Jesus, both hears them and heals them. "Go," he says, "go and show yourselves to the priests." He gives that instruction because in those days, only a religious leader could confirm someone clean again. Only a religious leader could say on behalf of an entire community, "Come on in, you're one of us again, welcome home." But once they got that word from Jesus, the lepers do exactly as they're told, and while they're on their journey, they are indeed made clean. And 9 of them continue to obediently follow Jesus' instructions. But one of them cannot stop himself from turning around, running back, shouting praises, and falling at Jesus' feet, saying, thank you, again and again. The verb used here has the root of doxa, which is also the root of doxology, that ancient song of praise and thanksgiving with which we begin worship every week. This indicates that the healed man was not just thanking Jesus, but praising and thanking God, whom he assumed had somehow worked through Jesus. Watching this happen, Jesus looks around and wonders aloud where the other 9 might be. "Why are you the only one who's returned?" he asked. And then he states, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, I must admit, Jesus' response had me a bit confused in my initial read of this story. First, the other 9 did not come back because they were doing as Jesus himself had instructed. But second, wasn't that Samaritan leper already made well? Wasn't that why he turned around in the first place? Through that healing, he had already been given clear skin and a way back into community. So what else was Jesus doing with him at that moment? I know I made you learn some Greek last Sunday, but please stick with me one more time. Our NRSV again doesn't do the Greek total justice. In verse 15, when the leper realizes he is clean, the verb there refers to a physical healing, what we just discussed. But it's a totally different verb in verse 19, made well. The verse there is sozo, and while translating sozo as made well is a tad anemic, it's most often translated as saved, to be rescued, to be delivered, and always in a divine sense. Getting well from illness is one thing, but truly getting well, becoming whole, feeling delivered and rescued, being saved, that's something altogether different. 10 lepers have faith enough to ask Jesus to heal them, and he does. They were all healed, but only one is made totally whole. The one that turns around to shout praise and gratitude, thank you, thank you. So that's a question that emerges from this text, isn't it? What is it about gratitude that saves us? It's got to be about more than just good manners, right? A preacher friend of mine named Jenny tells a story that might help. Growing up, she lived near her very best friend named Courtney. And Jenny proclaims that though she grew up with the Ten Commandments in her house, Courtney grew up with 11. The 11th commandment decreed by Courtney's mother was, "Thou shalt write thank you notes." You weren't really thankful, her mother thought, and your gratitude was not properly expressed until you had written it down in a card and mailed it. She believed this so fervently that any gifts her daughter received were allowed to be enjoyed the day they were given, but then the next morning, all those gifts were taken hostage, only to be released from their captivity when thank you notes were written, envelopes were sealed, and stamps were affixed. Once Courtney, encouraged by Jenny, I might add, protested to her mother, "But I already said thank you once." Courtney's mom responded by sitting both girls down with pencil and note cards and said, "It's about connecting the dots, girls." Looking back at that moment through the lens of this text, Jenny concludes Courtney's mother understood something about what happened between Jesus and that grateful Samaritan leper. That newly healed man desired to connect with the giver of his healing and to express his deep gratitude, turning back to Jesus and acknowledging that they were now bound together. For that's what real gratitude does, doesn't it? Gratitude turns us toward one another and binds us together. It also changes the way we see one another. Allow me to illustrate that with another story. A few years ago, a colleague told me about the time he and his wife set up their Christmas tree with their small children. I think the kids were around 3 years old. The two adults wrestled it into the living room. The kids bounced on the couch, unable to contain their excitement. The lights went up, and it was time to decorate. His job was to attach the hooks to each ornament and gently hand it to one of the kids. He called over his daughter and put a sparkly silver ball in her hands, and his daughter, with eyes wide open, held it gently and whispered, "Thank you. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." Every single ornament she took from her father's hand, she uttered the same exact words, "Thank you. This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." Well, about halfway through the ornaments, he decided to have a little fun with them, so he grabbed one of their little dirty socks from the floor and stuck a hook through it. He handed it to his daughter. "Oh, thank you, Daddy," she said. "This is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen." And she hung it on the tree. Her mother said to her, "You just put your dirty sock on the tree. Are you paying any attention?" And in response, that three-year-old child said, "But Mama, look! Today, everything is beautiful. The decorations are beautiful. My sock is beautiful. And you and Daddy are beautiful, too." Don't you wonder if that might be a part of the power of gratitude? Not only is gratitude powerful enough to make you stop in your tracks and turn around and seek out a connection with the giver, but it's also powerful enough to change the way we see each other. Gratitude unleashes in us a kind of holy imagination. A holy imagination that hangs a sock on a tree and says it's beautiful. A holy imagination that looks at an old stone baptismal font filled with ordinary water and sees it as a claiming by God and an entrance into a faith community. A holy imagination that looks at a sanctuary filled with normal broken people and sees them as beautiful saints who can indeed help God transform this world. True gratitude unleashes in us an awareness of nothing less than grace. And it connects us directly with the one who's given us everything, including each other. Gratitude puts that reality of grace right in front of our eyes, and that becomes the lens through which we see everything and everyone else. And I believe on our best days, gratitude can change the way we move through this world. I've seen it firsthand. I even think that gratitude can save us, even save us from ourselves. Jim Somerville, an American Baptist preacher in Washington, D.C., made that point when he recounted a conversation he had with a church member. They, like us, were in the middle of stewardship season, the time during which we all decide how much of our resources we will give to God's work through the church. The church member with whom he visited was one who always gave 10% of his family's income. When Somerville asked him how he always managed to do that, the man remarked it was not easy, especially in the beginning. But, he said, my wife and I decided we still had to do it. After all, we were afraid what would happen if we didn't. Jim was a little perplexed because he wasn't a hellfire and damnation kind of preacher, so he asked him to clarify. No, we're not afraid of what God would think, the man stated. Rather, we were afraid of what kind of people we would become if we stopped giving. We were afraid we would become ungrateful people, and we did not want to be that. I wonder if this is something that one healed Samaritan leper realized. I wonder if in that moment he experienced the way that gratitude could shape him into a totally different person, into someone who could see the whole world shimmering with the presence of love. For to be honest, that's what many of you teach me on a regular basis. You teach me how life-changing and soul-saving the regular spiritual practice of gratitude can be. And so I want to thank you. Thank you for showing up this morning here in person, especially on a marathon Sunday. Thank you for showing up this morning on our live stream, worshiping with us from Texas to Canada, from New York to Florida to Oklahoma to California to Missouri and elsewhere. We trust that God stitches us together as community regardless of where we are. Thank you for creating a house church at the Admiral and the Claire and at other retirement facilities across Chicagoland. Thank you all here and online for gathering together and setting aside all the other things you could have been doing. Thank you for making the effort to be re-knit into a worshiping community. Thank you because in these vague, ambiguous, liminal days of who is Fourth Church now, honestly, being in worship with you each week knits me back together. You give me courage, and you make another week of discernment and ministry possible. So thank you. Thank you for the ways you live out your faith every single day. I see only a part of it, but what I see always impacts me. Thank you for serving meals every day, but only one during the last 2.5 years of the COVID-19 pandemic. For making sure that people had a warm meal and a kind welcome. Thank you for making prayer shawls. Thank you for telling our deacons how we can pray for you. Thank you for tying the purple bows on Michigan Avenue as a public testimony against domestic violence. Thank you for bringing your squeaky babies and your despondent teenagers to church and to Sunday school. Thank you for joining in worship even when your body is tired or it hurts. Thank you for engaging in Bible study and small groups. Thank you for serving in leadership, especially now. Thank you for becoming a part of welcoming a new refugee family from the Ivory Coast, Cameroon, for cleaning and setting up their new apartment in which they're going to begin their whole new life. Thank you for reaching out to each other as we try to reweave this congregation back together again. Thank you for making music and for wrapping up our words of faith in such beauty. Thank you in advance for whatever pledge or monetary gift you're going to give for our work together in 2023. Goodness knows we all need to be all in for this next year. Thank you for your questions. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you for taking risks and trying new things and being adaptable as we find our way forward. And most of all, thank you for having a sense of humor and for not letting any of us take ourselves too seriously. Every single one of you is salt and yeast and light for a weary world. In your paid work, in your volunteer work, in your daily routine, you live out the light of your baptism. And that matters. It matters to me, it matters to this city, to this world, it certainly matters deeply to God. So thank you. Thank you for being yourselves, for being children of God, beloved and holy, nothing more but nothing less. To borrow a line from my friend's daughter, thank you. You, the group project called Fourth Church, are one of the most beautiful things that we've ever seen. That 10th Samaritan leper had it right. So did Jesus, of course. Being filled with gratitude and the full-throated expression of it can save our lives. It connects us with each other. It connects us with the one from whom all blessings flow. The world comes alive, and we do too when gratitude shapes us, when it causes us to pause and catch our breath and turn back and then shout praise. Gratitude allows us to see our world and each other shimmering with love and light and possibility. It is the antidote to so much else that we're dealing with in these vague, ambiguous, liminal kinds of days. Gratitude is what will make us all whole and well, willing to keep following the one named Jesus on his way. So thank you. And thanks be to God. Amen.